As I think most everybody here is aware, Daryl and I stood up here this past May, and we shared that our marriage was hit a crisis, and that connection was fractured. And immediately, the Lord really started working in our hearts on such a deep level. And we were both like kind of blown away at how quickly that connection began kind of healing. And we had a moment where we looked at each other and we basically said, you know, if distance caused this fracture, then distance isn't going to heal it. And so immediately we began like doing the hard work, and it's hard. It's hard to come back together when things feel broken. And there was so much work behind all of that. And I'm still so thankful. Sometimes, like, you know, when doctors have to go in and like break bones to reset it the way that it should be, you know? It's kind of like that's a process that we feel like we've kind of been walking through. And so the women's retreat was this past weekend, and we just had such a sweet moment, all of us sitting on the couch. There was 8 of us, a small but mighty group of women. And there were women that wanted to be there that weren't able to be, but there was a moment when, I'm gonna try real hard to do this without crying. I looked at them and I said, I said, girls, be honest with me, because I can handle the truth. I said, do you think that there's really any way that our church can come back from this? And they all just were so loving, and they said, of course it can. They said, this church is a hospital, right? And then another woman popped up and said, you know, it's like River is a hospital, and we're in the ICU right now. It's immediate family only. This is a time when walking out and leaving our family is not going to fix. Distance is not going to fix what is happening. What has happened is not going to heal. And I know God is so big, and He will use everything for good when we allow Him to. And even though we can look with our eyes and it's painful, we have to trust that God is doing such a deep work in all of this, and that He will bring it around for His glory. He is. We are already seeing so much fruit, but it's hard, you know? He keeps bringing Gideon into my thoughts and texts and sermons. And we went to Ohio and they had a guest speaker, and he talked about Gideon, and he started with an army of 3,000, and the Lord shrunk his army down to 300, and he chose Gideon. And Susie like texted this to me in the very beginning of all this, and he chose Gideon, the weakest man from the weakest tribe. And guys, it's not about growing wide. This place has never been about numbers. This is about going deep. This is about family. This is about doing the hard stuff together. We don't just sing about it on Sundays. We don't just say that God can use the broken and he can use the weak. We mean it. Because he doesn't see us in our dirty, filthy messes. That's when he uses us. That's when he moves, when we move out of his way. And sometimes that painful, that process is painful. But my gosh, if we could just walk in love, if we could be each other's advocate, not the enforcers. That's his job. He is the Holy Spirit. He works in our hearts and in our lives. We are not fruit inspectors. That's not what we're meant to be for one another. We are meant to get down in the dirt and pull each other up and help each other dust off. And yeah, Nikki, like Israel, when we were in Ohio, the guest pastor was talking about Christianity and evangelism and listening to his stories about just how broken that world is out there. They are watching us. The real battle, the real fighting should not be here. It's out there. And Satan wants to keep us so busy and so distracted fighting over things that don't really matter when there is a hurting world out there. That's what we should be crying over. That's what we should be fighting for. Not between each other. We are not each other's enemies. So it was a really good women's retreat. No, they were so loving. The women were so loving and gracious. And my goodness, so many laughs and tears and deep prayer. But I just want to thank all of you that are here. So many families that aren't here this morning that I know want to be. We just want to say thank you for standing with us. For this church, it is not about me and Daryl. We are willing to serve however the Lord wants us. But thank you for fighting for River of Life and what this place is built on.
Susie. I just want to make a reference. Earlier, it was said that sometimes they have to re-break a bone to set it. Bones take a long time to heal. And even though they re-break it to help it be stronger and healthy, that hurts. But it's a healthy pain. It's a strengthening pain. It's a building pain. So even though there's still some pain, let's know that the Lord is using that pain to make us stronger, to make us deeper, to build us from the bone out.
Good morning, church. I don't know how you follow that up. God's presence. I was telling Daryl in the back corner, you ask for more of God's presence. So let's pray. Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your faithfulness to us. Thank you for the blood of Christ. That we are unworthy except for the blood of Christ. So God, give me the words that you would say, not that I would say, the words that you would say. As we move into this teaching phase, Lord, may ears be open to hear what you are wanting to say. May eyes be open to see where you want us to move and do. God, give us wisdom. In your name we pray. Amen. So, confession time. It's always good for the soul. We ended actually last week with Paul bringing up James 5:16. Confess your sins so that you may pray over them, so that you will be healed, you will be forgiven. So as we were going through that last song and everyone singing about God's faithfulness, and we went off on a little riff there, and I love that sort of thing. It gives you the freedom just to really pray out to God what you're feeling. And I'm just praying along, and suddenly I realize what I'm praying, and I'm like, oh, shoot, I didn't get everything right during communion. I was praying that God was faithful, and then I hear my own voice saying, even when I'm unfaithful. And God revealed like three things, kind, gently, lovingly, three things to me this week where I was unfaithful to Him, where I was trying to be faithful, I was trying to do it, and I failed. And I heard His still small voice saying, that's okay, because I'm faithful and love you even when you are unfaithful. And that's the God we serve, not a God that says, okay, you were unfaithful, it's whack-a-mole time, and you need to feel bad about yourself. Yeah, probably not a good time to joke when God's... I saw a few people laugh, thank you. But that's the way some people see God. He's in heaven just waiting for us to mess up, and then He zaps us. Well, no, He's waiting in heaven knowing when we're going to mess up, because He knows, and He's waiting to lovingly restore. And so we're going to pop up the first slide, which is already there. Thank you, Kathy. Last week, we talked about putting God first and family second as we continued the generation series. And we have to have a strong vertical relationship with God to strengthen our horizontal relationship with others. If me and the Savior aren't on the same wavelength, I can't minister to anyone. We can't go out and be at Pumpkin Fest and then the connection happen. We'll see the dude in the pink hat and run away instead of seeing the guy in the pink hat and saying, I wonder if that's who the Lord wants me to talk with. And maybe we're not fully prepared, like Paul said, and we're like, Lord, don't send them to me. Send them to something more, someone more capable. And I'll share one of those moments at a youth rally. I was there, and I was with a very Pentecostal group. I'm saying way more Pentecostal than this group. So much so that they had the shofar and the sounds, and people were dancing. And it's way out of my comfort level. I've gotten comfortable with this level, which I never thought I would have got that comfortable with this level. But I was there with this big, bright orange shirt on that said, I forget the name of the group, but it's like, Team Ministry Leaders, you know, and whatever, when I was there. And this guy, they call for prayer, and he locks eyes on me, and I see him like, he's not running, but in my mind, he's running down the aisle directly at me, but he's moving fast. And I'm like, not me, not me, not me, not me, no Lord, anyone else, divert, halt, you know, transfer. I felt like I was waving, I don't know, I could have been waving my hands, and that's why he was, I don't know. At that moment, he came right to me and he said, God told me you're going to pray for me and I'm going to be delivered. And I'm like, okay. I laid hands on him, started praying. I don't know a single word I said to the dude. I just prayed. I don't remember a single word. Finished. Opened one eye. Like, okay. And he goes, how did you know? And I'm like, I didn't. God spoke through me. And the dude went back to his singing and dancing, glorifying God. I never know what became of that moment. God uses us even in our brokenness. God uses us despite our flaws. Now, that does not mean, Paul is very literal in Scripture, I don't sin more so that God's grace abounds more. So let's just get the theology correct here. I don't say, okay, God uses me in my brokenness, so I have a license to sin. No. Paul says, as we love Him because He first loved us, we start to grow in Christ's likeness. And we become more and more worthy, not because we're worthy, but because we're following Him. So let's get that so that we don't say, oh, I can sin and God can use me. Yes, that's true, but He would prefer we sin less and He can use us more. All right, so there's where we're kind of starting. I do believe in those moments. This moment, this morning, I got in my van, pulled out of the driveway, sports radio is on, because that's usually where I have it through the week. I always click over to K-Love, and right as I hit the little button to go to K-Love, it's like, and prayer, which is where we left off last week talking about prayer. And they have this wonderful little app on K-Love, if you do their app, where you can leave a prayer, and a member of their prayer team or someone else will pray over you, and you get an alert saying someone prayed for you. We have that app here with Church Center, and there is a prayer chain where you can do that. But I just thought, you know, why is prayer so hard? I think it's because it really is easy. And we think God expects more from us, that the harder things I do for him, the more he's happy. And I'm like, prayer is the easiest stinking thing in the world, and I do it the least, probably, of any of the things. It's like, all God wants to do is for me to sit with him and have a conversation. Like, how hard is that, just to talk with someone? Some of you that are, you know, you're very introverted, you're like, that's the hardest thing in the world. Well, guess what? Get over it, okay? Those who are extroverted, it's the easiest thing to carry on a conversation. We know some of the people in this room and others that are so extroverted that you kind of sometimes want to avoid the conversation because, you know, 47 minutes later, you're still talking with them because they love to talk. So prayer's easy, but we don't do it. Why? Maybe we don't know what we need to do in prayer or how to do it. So today is a quick primer. We're going to go right to slide 13. And we're going to look at the Lord's Prayer. And it's a primer. All of you know this. There we go. I'm on slide 13. We started last week by me saying, actually, go back to slide 4. I am sorry. Slide 4. For those of you that weren't here, this is kind of where we started. Not 4, the one on prayer. So it's 6? 6. Yes. All right. Good. I can count. I have my sandals on, so I can go to 20 today, but there's 25 slides. This is where I kind of went and said, hey, here are 30-ish verses. There's actually 31, but they said 30. I don't know why. And they rotate them because they run different. But if you really want to start with your prayer life or continue your prayer life, dailyverses.net/prayer. You can also Google verses on prayer, and this is one of the top hits there. But that's where I came up with all these verses that I then put on slides. We'll go to 13. And I think it was Tommy who went, Jeremiah, call unto me and I will answer thee and show you great and mighty things which you. And then we kind of said, well, how do we call on him? We talked about that a bit. And suddenly we're praying in God's will. And there are scripture verses that says, if you pray in my will or if you pray in Jesus' name, I will do it. And then the question arose, well, my goodness, if I pray in his will, so if I just pray believing, then it's going to happen. And then we defined God's will is when he receives the honor and the glory for it. He will change our will in praying to his will if we pray enough. I think a lot of times we get discouraged because we start in prayer and we say, dear Lord, let this happen, and it doesn't happen, and we feel like, why did I fail? And God's saying, no, ask again. Ask again. I'm going to mold your prayer. I'm going to change your viewpoint to my viewpoint. And when you're praying my will, the gates of hell will not withstand it. So we're going to go back to what Jesus said about prayer to his disciples. In Matthew chapter 6, the green is added because that's in some versions it's there and some versions it's not. And you're going, wait a second, didn't we have the discussion last week about differing viewpoints and differing scriptures and how we interpret scripture with scripture? Well, this just looks at which manuscripts that they translated from. Some will put the doxology, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, amen. Others will leave that out. It just look just whichever manuscript they were. So some versions will put it in there and they'll have it in parentheses and then you'll see a little footnote. If you've ever been excited enough to read footnotes, it would have said that. So now you know. It's just a different manuscript. It doesn't mean that someone else added it later on. It's just that we usually end prayers with this And so we're going to put it here to make it sync up with the other one that's in, I think, Luke. So Jesus is speaking and he said, "This then is how you should pray." Should, not will. It was should. You should pray this way. And he says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." So if you're like me, you need to remember things like with little bullet points. So we're going to talk about what it means to pray in this vein with four letters. Starts with a P, ends with a Y. P-R-A-Y, pray. Okay. The P stands for praise. We did that a lot in worship, praising God. The R stands for repentance. The A stands for ask. And the Y stands for yield. And we'll tie all of those back into last week's lesson as well. So, what part of this verse? You can just shout it out. I'll let the people online know. What part of this verse do you think is a praise piece?
Our Father.
Hallowed. Yeah. All right. Those of you who are linguistic experts, what is hallowed or hallowed? Holy. Yes. Oh, we're coming up on Halloween. He said the bad word, Halloween. Well, no, it actually used to be All Hallows' Eve, and the church looked to those that they had hallowed as saints, people in Scripture who had done wonderful things, people that they revered and looked up to, and it was actually a spiritual holiday. Satan loves to take our spiritual holidays and flip them around and make them something they weren't, and now it's about spooky ghosts and vampires and all of those things, when this was a time to remember the saints and what they had done, what people had done before us, the examples of the faith to help follow Christ by following them. Paul was very clear in his teachings. He said, "Follow me as I have followed Christ." Paul was never saying, "Look at me, I'm the dude writing all these things, keeping you in line, do what I do." He said, "No, do what I do because I'm following Christ. If I'm not following Christ, don't do what I do." That's the single most important thing I think I can say. If you see me stray from Christ, don't do what I do. Come to me and help me. Come to me and restore me as a brother. Come to me and say, "I don't think what you did was honoring to God." And if I have the right attitude, I'm going to say, "You know what? You're right." Or I may look at it and say, "Well, wait, you only heard part of the story. Here's the whole story." And then you may look and say, "Oh, he was doing something that was right. I just didn't understand it fully." But we need to check in on one another with that. Praise God. Hallowed, holy is your name. If we start every prayer with praise for God, it turns the focus off of us and our needs onto who God is and how great he is. Okay. Those of us that are married, you never probably want to start the conversation with your wife. "So, why did you do that? Like, what were you thinking?" And I'm looking right at Stephanie. Mike's going, "I would never do that. I would be in trouble." Would we start a conversation with our spouse going right after the main point, the need, the here's the correction, Here's, you know, no, hopefully not. If you do, change and change quickly. It took me a long time to figure that out. Don't be like me in that respect. Man, we should start out. They tell us this when we talk to parents in the school setting about their kids. Do something that's what you call a sandwich. You give something the kid does good, then you give them one thing they need to work on, and then you smush that in with another, "Hey, they're really doing good here." And it's amazing how many parents you can get to correct their kid on the one thing bad when you've said your kid is doing these things right. But man, my early years as a teacher, those teacher meetings, Johnny is not paying attention in class. He's, you know, in ninth grade and still picking his nose, and he eats it, and all the students find that gross. And by the time they are about ready to, like, get the pitchfork and chase me out of town. And I learned patiently that, man, we need to start off with some good. So when we pray, start off with some good. Like, just spend the first few moments in prayer, the first 5, 10, 15, however long it takes, to put your heart in the place where you're willing to listen and receive, where it's not about you, it's about Him. Easy stuff, hard to put into practice, because I want to get right to the request. I really do, because that's why I'm coming to prayer, because panic has set in. Danger, warning, I need help, and I don't have time for, I need to hit the ejection button now, or everything will blow up in my face. And God is saying, oh, this is how you should pray. Praise. Our Father in heaven, provider of everything. Think about that. He is the provider of everything. That should calm us from DEFCON 4. Hallowed be your name. You're holy. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It doesn't say, dear Jesus, take me out of this world. It's bad, and I want to go to heaven and be with you. It says, no, we're actually to pray that His kingdom would happen right now. Your will would be done just like it is in heaven, in perfection. Make it so here. Whoa, that's a huge prayer. But it's your will be done, not my will be done. God wants to set up His kingdom the way He sees fit. He goes after the one. He goes out to the people. The disciples didn't understand when Jesus would leave and depart and spend time in prayer, and then He would be walking back and deal with one leper. As we were talking about, how do you even minister to all the needs? God brought to mind Mother Teresa when she was asked, you know, and she helped bless so many people in India. And she was asked, don't you ever become overwhelmed that there's so many in need? And she answered that, and I'm paraphrasing, how can I not help the one in need that God has put in front of me? And I help the one, and then I wait, and God brings someone else, and I help that one, and I help that one. So she could never help everyone, but man, when God put someone in front of her to help, she certainly helped. And it doesn't, we don't need to help everyone, we need to help the one that God puts in our path. And then He'll bring another, and as we become more adept at realizing who God wants us to help, He'll bring more and more. He will never overwhelm us with helping people if we do it one at a time. So, your will be done as it is in heaven. All right, let's go to the repentance thing. Where's repentance in this? Forgive us as debts as we also forgive our debtors. So it's important that we repent, because in any good relationship, if I have something that I'm holding against the other person and I don't forgive it or ask forgiveness, it makes the relationship difficult. It makes the talking difficult. So we should keep our sin list with God very short. We should keep our fellowship with other Christians, very short. I'll talk about that a little bit later, because that's verse 14 that we don't have a slide for, but we'll get into that because I think it's very important, because that is a bold statement that Jesus said. Forgive us our sins as we also forgive those who sin against us. What that means is if we're not forgiving, somehow in God's way, He withholds forgiveness. And we'll talk about that as we end the lesson today. What's asking in here? Verse 11, yeah, give us today our daily bread. Notice it's give us, not just give me. So there's a bigger thinking in this prayer than just give me what I need, God, to survive, but give us as family what we need. not 12 months from now, 2 years from now, not a week from now. It says, give us our daily bread. Give me, Lord, today for this group what they need to survive today. Yes, we have to have forward thinking and planning, and all of those things are in that. But when we're praying to God, we're praying for the need that is immediate. We're asking for what He wants to give us because we're doing it in His will. So simple. When we are asking these things, don't worry too much about tomorrow. Scripture is very clear, as Jesus taught, tomorrow has its own troubles. Think about the troubles of today and how God's going to walk us through those. So that's the asking part. Another ask, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. That should be a part of all of our prayers. Sometimes we think we're bigger than the devil, we're running smooth, everything's fine, and that's usually when we become prideful, and that's when we stumble and fall. Part of our asking every day in our prayers should be, God, keep me from the wrong things. Protect me from Satan today. I don't think we do enough of that. I think we strap on all the Christian armor that Paul Sontag preached about 2 or 3 weeks ago. We strap on all of that armor and we feel totally ready to go, and we do it in our own power. We try to rush out and fight the enemy when actually, if you look at the armor, it's so that you can be steadfast. You can be firmly planted for the enemy's attacks. So we should be praying that temptation doesn't come. We should be praying that when it does come, that we're not led into the temptation. And then we have to be wise. Jesus said for us to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. We need to be wise to know what barriers we have to set in our lives for temptation. Men, what website we go to or don't go to. Being careful not to click through. I have become appalled even with ESPN. Because if you scroll down far enough, there's like top 10 sexiest cheerleaders. And the lust of my eyes would want me to go there. And I'll share a little bit, since we're sharing and open. This is a whole nother sermon that God is preparing somehow, some way for me to bring. It's sexual addiction, guys. No one wants to speak about it. I'm not proud of it. I have fought that all my life. It's not a good thing. But man, every day I have to say, God, keep my eyes clean. And you're going, but wait a second. You're like 53. Shouldn't you have mastered this? Should have. With God's grace, I am way ahead of where I was. That's what asking Him for our daily bread is. And it's a whole nother message. But for those of you that think, I think the numbers now, somewhere 80% of the men in church still view a pornographic website on a monthly basis. Bam. Okay? It's hard to set up. And we're not praying for that. We're not filling our wives in on that. That's the secret Satan loves to have there too, is turning to your spouse and saying, I have a problem, I need you to help me with it. Instead, we pretend like everyone in the church is clean and lily white and never does this, so I must be the only one. And that's a lie of Satan too. And we just have to break free of that. We just have to say, you know what, God? I'm tired of doing things the same way because it leads to the same problems. It's just a never-ending circle. So man, that was all free. That was all on me. I know you're not like that, but if it spoke to you, thank you, Tim. I don't know why. I do know why. Because now that I've said it, it's out there, and the pattern's broken, you know. And the more people that know, the more people can hold me accountable. And I shouldn't be ashamed about that, because that's what Scripture last week said. Confess your sins one to another, that you will be prayed over, and the righteous prayer, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And I know there are a lot of righteous men in here, and they will be praying for me now. So I have just, my prayer covering has upped its game. I've leveled up in that. So thank you, Jesus, and message coming later. All right, yield. Where do we yield here? This is kind of like, again, it's in your will be done, and then the last one, yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. We yield our will to God's will, and then he is teaching us how to pray through this. Simple primer. But then verse 14. Yes, honestly, that is so true. If you do the whole sandwich thing, start with praise, I messed up, Lord, help me. And then end with, you're God and I know you will help me. I praise you for that, because it's not us. Yes, do you want the mic? You want the mic. Okay. For people in internet land.
I know you're going to go to verse 14, which I love it, but I actually love the preceding verse to this as well, which is how we approach God in prayer, right?
Yes.
And for me, prayer early on in my Christian walk felt as an obligation. It felt like a duty. Like I had to check the box at, you know, during that time. But now my prayer life has come into more of a yearning for a relationship and communication with the Father. So I would encourage those as we step into studying prayer, knowing how to approach him and be ready to receive what he has intended for us in that intimate setting. Because that and that prayer with him is probably the most intimate that he will get with you in your heart. And he will reveal more things to you in that, as long as you approach him that way. I have been trying to approach God in prayer, not as, I need you to do this for me, and I will do this for you, but as, God, I want to connect with you to know what you need me to do in your will. And I just thought that level of approaching prayer, I know you're going to proceed to the end, but I thought it was really well-fitting when we learn how to pray.
Yeah, so let's go to the beginning before we go to the ending. We can change it up. For those of you who don't know, most of you do, Jesus starts in verse 2. So whenever you give to the poor and do acts of kindness, don't blow a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues, blah, 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 blah. In other words, prayer is not a show. It says, verse 5, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. They love to pray publicly, standing on the street corners so they may be seen by men. Jesus says, they've got their reward. They prayed to me, and everyone thinks they're spiritual. That's their reward. They won't have a reward in heaven. They won't get an answer to prayer because they're praying it for men to see them and men to be pleased. But then he tells us how to. But when you pray, go into your most private room, close the door, pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And that's connecting with God's will. There are a lot of flowery prayers out there. The one in Scripture that comes to mind is set before this. There's the Pharisee who's standing there praying, I have not done this, and I have not done that, and I have tithed, and I have. If your prayer has a lot of I's in it, change it. Change it. The one that struck was the guy over who wouldn't even look up to heaven because he was so embarrassed. And he's like, Father, forgive me, for I am a sinner. That was it. That prayer was heard and granted. The other one wasn't. So that's the beginning. And then also, I love this one because this is, here's my failure. Thank you, Andrew, for bringing this up. That's good. When you pray, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Prayers don't have to be long. They just need to be sincere. And there is scripture that tells us, continue to pray because God wants us to break through. So there is some repetition in prayer. I've been praying for people to get saved now for 30, 40 years, and I continue to, And I keep believing that God will see them into his kingdom because his will is to have them in the kingdom. So we don't quit on those prayers. It's when they're meaningless repetition. It's when we're going through the motions. The one I go through the motions the most, and I actually stopped praying over my meals for a while, because it was just, give us today our daily bread. You know, thank you, Lord, for this food. Bless the hands of those who prepared it, or whatever you say before. If it's become a rote, doesn't really mean anything. It's like, God, thank you for this food I'm eating now. I could be homeless. Thank you for providing a home for me and my family we could be without. Thank you for the car I'm driving. If it's those, great, because you're showing your humility. But man, if you're just saying it because that's what's always been said, and unfortunately, a lot of people get the Lord's Prayer wrong. They'll say it. Some congregations say it every week. And it's become a rote, just say it, and whatever's going to happen will happen. Make your prayer life real by meaning it. So now we go to the tough verse in 14 as we, as Daryl says, land the plane. I'm in the Amplified Version, and I love in the Amplified Version, they really expound upon things, except I found when you go to where Christ spoke, and there's not much expounding on in all of this, except for this one verse, because I think we often get it wrong. Verse 14, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your trespasses." That's Christ's words. Here's the addition. "For if you forgive others their trespasses, their reckless and willful sins, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others," listen to this, "nurturing your hurt and anger with the result that it interferes with your relationship with God, then your Father will not forgive your trespasses." Ouch. So it's not just that I'm saying I'm not going to forgive them. It's I'm nurturing my hurt. I can't believe they would say that about me. I can't believe that they would have done something like that to me. And instead of just forgive and move on in my prayers, I'm actually destroying my prayer life because I'm nurturing the anger and frustration. And that is a human emotion. That is not a God-given emotion for us to be like, all is forgiven and move on. But if you nurture your hurt and your anger, the result will be it will interfere with your relationship with God. You cannot be harboring a root of bitterness in your life and hear from God. It will not happen. God taught me this through now three specific instances where I was wronged, and I knew I was wronged, and I held that against those people. And I won't mention any names because some I've been restored with, others I am still yet to be restored, and one I do not think there was any chance of restoration, but I had to learn to forgive. And in all three instances, my prayer life just shriveled up to nothing. I would try and it was just dry. And I'm like, God, I was wronged. You know I was wronged. And I kept bringing that up. And he's like, yes, you wronged me and I forgave you. You wronged me and I forgave you. That's the only thing I heard. And yet, stubborn me, yes, but in this situation, it is so heinous, horrible, I can't forgive. And all I heard was, pray for them. In three specific instances, and all of these are in my past, as I started to pray for the people, the one who I never had connection with, who never thought what he did was wrong or anything, it was all right in his mind. Once I prayed for him and started praying for him, I found I couldn't be mad at someone I was praying for. I mean, I have a hard enough time following, loving, don't take this the wrong way, I don't mean it the wrong way, loving you guys. And I'm supposed to love my enemies too. That's what God calls the higher standard. It's like, let's face it, there's a lot of times we're coming up on Thanksgiving and family gatherings, and there are people in our family we just don't love, and it's hard to be around them, and yet we're told to love them. We're told to even love our enemies. And if we can get past the point, we can start praying for people. So if the crazy uncle, start praying for him now, saying, Lord, help me to love him. I'm being serious. A little joke, but I'm being serious. If you start praying for the people that have said ill about you, it changes your perspective, because you know what? God forgives them too. He forgives all of us. And sometimes we just make bad mistakes. And I am sure there are people out there that I have hurt that I never even knew that I hurt them, and they never came to me. So please, if I do anything that hurts you, come to me. Please come to me so that I can make it right with you. I may be so blinded that I never even know it was an offense to you. And man, if I think, bless you, if I think that I've done something to you, I should, again, in other passages, says, leave your gift at the altar. You're trying to worship God, and you've got something against someone, or you know someone has something against you. Leave it there. God says it's so important to get it right on a horizontal level that leave the vertical so you can get the horizontal, so the vertical's even better, and then you can reach more people. See, it works both ways. So if there are things that we know we have against others, we should go to them and say, you know, I've held this grudge too long. I am sorry. If there are things where we know they did to us and they're unreceptive, you don't keep pushing that. You don't. You just pray for them and you leave it. Because sometimes I've found distance is good in some of those things. That no matter how much you try to reason and ask forgiveness and find common ground, it may not happen. You just let God, you continue to pray for them. You let God bring that about in His timing, in His will. And we're back to that. It's all about His will. It's not about ours. It's not about our agenda, our plans. It's about His. And if we start looking at prayer as His time and not time we have to give to Him, that makes a huge difference. So I did pray foolishly again with some guys Wednesday night that we were here, and we'll be here this Wednesday night too from 6 to 8 if you want to come for prayer. I said, wake me up when you want to wake me up, God. Because I prayed that 3-4 years ago, and it seemed like every morning I was waking up a little bit earlier, and after a while it became tiring physically but wonderful spiritually. So I prayed that again, and this week I've been up a little bit earlier than normal, or I'll wake up at odd random hours of the night with either a worship song on my heart or a person's name on my heart, and I just spend some time praying for them, and it's been great. I will also say this week, there's been disappointments. We all will have disappointments. There are things I thought would happen that didn't, and then I'm left with, okay, God, did I pray for the wrong thing? Was it not in your will? Or is in your will, but just not this week? How do I shape this prayer now, Lord? And it makes you rely on Him and not on your own power. I don't know where we're going with our teachings, whether we're staying in prayer, we're getting together with the teaching team here in the next week or two, kind of going through. But it seems like I gave this charge last week. Pray with your families. That's so important. That's an area too long in my marriage. I didn't pray with Judy. And that was my fault, all on me. I'm the dude. I should have sucked it up and done it. But being vulnerable in front of someone is difficult. But man, if you can't be vulnerable in front of your spouse, there's work to do there too. And, you know, it's important to do that work. It really is. I've talked to too many people in this church. Too many people outside of this church that God is attacking our marriages like crazy, and none of us are immune. If you think it's solid, check again. And if it is solid, keep doing what you're doing. If you check and it's not solid, start working on it. Find another couple that you think is solid and go to them and say, hey, would you pray? And I would wager to say half the time, They will say, we're struggling in the same area. We'll pray for you. Would you pray for us? It opens that up. We have to be vulnerable. And yes, it will turn around and bite you in the rear end sometimes, but who cares? This life is so short compared to eternity with Christ. Let's focus on bringing eternity, his kingdom down, like it says, onto earth right now, because the earth needs it. The earth needs it. Let's pray. Father, what I've said ineloquently, I pray that you would speak eloquently into the hearts and minds here. God, give us wisdom to follow you with our whole heart. Give us wisdom to yield all of our desires to your desires. Give us the ability to be vulnerable with people, to open up the wounds that probably needed to be dealt with years ago. God, allow us to seek you first and your kingdom. And it says the promise of God, everything else will be added to us, that you will meet our daily needs as we submit our will to yours. So Father, today I submit my will to you for whatever you have prepared throughout this week for me. God, let me see through your eyes, as Tim mentioned, just crush our lenses and let us see through your eyes the needs that are around us. And God, may we be your hands and your feet to meet those needs. God, turn those lenses inside us and examine us. See if there be anything in us that needs to be cleaned up. And we confess it and we forsake it and we move in your power. God, be with families today as they go off to Pumpkin Fest or family dinners or wherever, that there might be a sweet, sweet moment with families as we cherish those. In your name we pray. Amen. Yes, Paul.
I'm going to lay it on a little heavier. We need to be together. I know I have experience in talking with people. I'm not comfortable praying in a large group. It's okay, come with us and be here. Because in the presence of the Lord, as we pray together, you start getting more comfortable. More than ever, I'm going to say this directly. There was some feeling, I know Chris clearly stated, as did I. Part of the issues we run into, I believe, this is what I believe the Lord has said, has come about because we let our prayer cover go. We, whatever we were doing, said, I'll get to prayer later, whatever it was. We need to be in prayer. This is a body, not, in addition to being a hospital, has been called a house of prayer. When we let that go, we are each one vulnerable. We're much easier to pick off. So please look at your schedules and say, I will make time to get together in prayer. You need it. We all need it. And we are stronger when we're together in prayer than without it. So please take this home. It's a challenge, but it's coming from the Lord. And I know and I believe that the Lord is calling us out now to be together in prayer.
So Wednesdays, it's 6 to 8. But if you can't be here from 6 to 8, come any time frame. If you spare 15 minutes, we'll pray over you, with you for those 15 minutes. I know schedules are busy. I know kids have swim. There are tons of things we get to. So if 6 to 8 doesn't work perfectly for you and you can be here for half an hour, that's perfectly fine. Yes? So that's the online Zoom. We need to change that. We have decided that we're going to avoid Zoom for prayer for the time being so that we can be face-to-face with one another. If you have a prayer request, go on to the app, ask to join that prayer group. You can submit prayer requests there. If you can't make it on Wednesday night, submit requests there and we'll pray over them. I mean, why can't we use the technology that Satan would love to use for evil and turn it to good? It's like so easy. We have We can reach out to almost any Christian anywhere in the world at any time through these devices, and yet all we ever hear is the bad things on the internet. Well, it can be used for good. So let's use it for good. If you can't make it, and I totally understand, kids, commitments, but if you can, please be here. If not, send us a prayer request and know we'll be praying for it. With that being said, it's 11 after 12. If you need to get your kids and run, great. Take all of your conversations out into the fellowship hall. If you want to stay here and have a prayer need, I'm sure I see Paul, Daryl, Adams back there. We can all be around to help pray, but you are dismissed.